Hello, friends. Welcome to the SOS Podcast. I'm your host, Carl. Thanks for joining me this week. I hope you're all doing well. I've been listening to a song for the last couple months. It's a song that's, I think it's older than I am, but I've only come across it recently. And I heard it once, and I liked the melody, didn't really pay attention to the words much. But then as I listened to this song over and over again, it really started to speak to me. It's not a Christian song, not a worship song or a faith hymn or anything like that. Well, I really do believe God has spoken to me through this song. The song is called Both Sides Now by Joni Mitchell. The story of the lyric is very simple. She talks about experiencing certain facets or aspects of life, and after going through her experiences, feeling like she still doesn't really understand what they're all about. She starts the song by singing about clouds. She says that she's experienced clouds in the beautiful, magical way that perhaps children do, where you look up at the sky, the clouds are pretty, they're fluffy, they look like certain images. You might say that one looks like an elephant, that one looks like an ice cream cone. She's experienced the magic of clouds, we can say. But then she's also experienced the other side of clouds, when they're dark and gray and gloomy, when they block the sun, when they pour out rain and snow and ruin your plans for the day. And she says, after experiencing the good and the bad, she realizes, I don't really know clouds at all. I thought they were one thing, but it turns out they're much more than that. And perhaps I need to change my viewpoint. I need to understand this a little better. The next verse of the song is the same idea, but it's applied to love. She starts singing about experiencing the good parts of love, the romance, loving someone deeply and having that love being returned, the dreaming of her future with this great love. And all of those things are awesome. But then she sings about experiencing the bad. She talks about loss. She talks about loneliness. She talks about coming to the realization that this great love of hers actually was not real. It was all a show. It was not genuine. And so she's left being empty. She says at the end of this, I realize I don't know love at all. Again, she thought it was this great, awesome, magical thing, not knowing the other side of it. And now that she's seen it from both sides, she perhaps needs to take some time to get to know it for real. Then the last verse, she talks about life, the high points in life, having good friends, camaraderie, having incredible experiences, and really just enjoying every day. Well, the other side of that, of course, is losing friendships, having people leave your life instead of experiencing awesome, incredible events, experiencing tragedy and sadness. All of a sudden, this life that was so full, so fruitful, so joyous, becomes a life that's emptier and sadder. After seeing both sides of life, she realizes, I didn't know life at all. I thought it was one thing. I thought it was just great. I never saw the other side. Now that I've seen the other side, I have to reevaluate. Do I really understand life? I bring this song up and I bring up this idea because I'm at a point at 43 years old where I feel like perhaps I don't know life at all. The Lord has brought me through a lot since I've given my life to Him, good and bad. He's given me vision. He's given me work. He's given me gifts and talents. I haven't talked about this in a while, but the book that I wrote almost 2 years ago is in its last stages right now. We're talking about publication coming in the next couple months, this project that feels like it's never going to end. There is an end in sight. And so I have this vision of not only what the book will become, but what life will become after that. I have this vision of God opening certain doors in ministry and in further publication, further writing. But ever since I've started getting really close to that vision, ever since it seems like, okay, it's coming into view, other areas of my life, honestly, are just falling apart. It seems like every good surprise comes with three bad surprises. And I can say I'm a little confused. I'm looking up at my ceiling and saying what we would all say. We say, God, what on earth is going on? What are you doing? What happened to change everything so much? So you pray and you ask these questions and you don't hear anything. You don't really get an answer. So you look in scripture and you say, well, there could be a number of explanations. Is this the case of me just being incredibly unfaithful? Is it the case of me reaping what I'm sowing? You sow a good seed, you get good fruit. You sow a bad seed, you get bad fruit. Is that what's happening here? Or maybe is this kind of like a Job situation where this is a severe attack from the enemy with all of these good things coming with this vision that God's given me with where I think my life will go soon? Is the enemy trying to distract me, trying to squash that vision, trying to keep me from remaining faithful to believe in that, to hope for that? Is that what's going on here? Or is it a case of these are just tragic things that have to happen in this life because it's an imperfect world and maybe there's no rhyme or reason behind it? I would say that the third case is not the case. We know that there's purpose behind what we go through. We are not called here just to suffer. We are called to suffer. For those who follow Christ, you are called to share in his sufferings. That's going to happen. That has to happen. But it's not a destructive process for us. It's a constructive process. The point of suffering is to build something in us for positive change. That's why we go through it. So what do we say? What do we say when we experience a time, a season, during which it feels like everything we've come to know and understand of God just isn't coming through? I don't see it. He's supposed to be a certain way, but I don't see that materializing in my life. You hate to compare your life to other people's because everyone's individual, everyone's unique. God has a plan for me that might be different than the plan he has for you. But when you see so many others, faithful believers, prospering in a number of ways where you just don't see prosperity, you start to ask, what's the problem? What's wrong with me? What's the disconnect? I posted a podcast several weeks ago asking the question of whether God is really everything to us, whether we really think he is enough. Forget about all the stuff we get. Forget about how good and nice this life might be. Forget about the blessings and the giftings. Forget about financial blessing. But if all we have is God and him alone, is he enough? I post that podcast and I start to see my life in this way, in that way, and the other way become less and less and less. I have less. There is less in my life. The question is it time for me to put my money where my mouth is? Is that what's going on here? Is it a matter of standing on truth and then having to walk that out? I'll tell you one thing. If you're in my position, me, myself, right now, being in this position, there really is only one thing we can do to be faithful. The first thing we are called to do, and perhaps the only thing we are able to do in the moment, is keep hoping. We have to keep that hope alive. It's a corny phrase, I know, but you have to keep the hope alive. You have to say, circumstances look a certain way, but my God has given me promises. My God has given me vision. My God's word says this. It says that he is a father who gives good gifts. It says that he has a plan. His plan is for us to have hope, to have a future. You ask him 1,000 questions, or you ask the same question 1,000 times, and you feel like you still don't have an answer. But that doesn't mean you stop believing that he listens, that he can hear you, and that he knows what's going on, that he's still in control. We do not hope for the things that we see. That's foolish. That makes no sense. The word says that we hope for the things we do not see, the things we do not have. So perhaps during this time of lack, during this time of need, during this time of silence, perhaps it's for me to focus on hope. Perhaps it's for me to focus on what I don't have. Because honestly, if I had everything, there'd be nothing to hope for. But having little, or feeling like there is so little, that really opens the door to all kinds of hope. I feel like the possibilities are endless. As much as I've received so many bad surprises in the last couple months, I have to believe that there are also a ton of good surprises that could be just around the corner. When you stand on hope, you're really saying one thing. You're saying, I'm not going to be defeated. I'm not going to bow to circumstances. I'm not going to bow to what looks like a really hard, tough time. The dark night of the soul does not win. The lean times do not win. The lonely season does not win. I've been with the Lord, walking with the Lord for almost 17 years now. And I definitely feel like I can say I've seen both sides now. High, low, and in between. Dark, light, and in between. The outpouring, the drought, and in between. I feel like I've seen it all. I guess the real question is whether I should even be surprised by this season. Even if I don't understand the season, should I be surprised by the season? If anything good is coming from this time right now, I think it's a reevaluation, a reconsideration of what hope looks like, what it means. What is it for hope to manifest in your life? What is it to walk in hope, to be hopeful? What does that actually mean? Practically speaking, how do we do that? The only answer I have right now is to look beyond what is before you, to look past that and speak your faith, declare your faith about what you believe is up ahead. Not necessarily about what you want to be up ahead. This isn't a name it, claim it situation. I don't really buy that. But if God has shown you that this is for you, then you have to confess, okay, it's not here right now, but it's here. Actually, it's already done. In time, it hasn't happened yet, but he's declared it, so I'll declare it. I'll agree with him. This is my destiny. Stand on your hope and seek the Lord for understanding, that you would know the purpose and the reason behind the dark times. Father, Job said, are we to thank you and praise you and just take the good times but not accept the bad times as well? Both come from you. Both are either orchestrated or allowed by you. Both are subject to your authority. And both have purpose and reason in our lives. Father, increase our hope that even when we don't have understanding of the times we're enduring, that we are still hopeful for what is to come, for that which you've shown us individually, specifically, or that which your word says generally is to be expected by your people. Father, keep us walking in that hope and keep us looking forward to the change that's to come from these trying times. Father, we love you and we can't wait to see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good day and God bless. We hope you have enjoyed this week's episode of the Sold Out Soul podcast. If you would like to sow financially into the work that we're doing here, please visit soulsrestoredministries.org and click the donate button.